Are you ready?
Yes, I am. I'm asking Ms. Hollins if she is ready with the recorder.
Okay.
Recording?
Yes.
Yes, I am.
Okay, whenever you're ready, Mr. President, that would be great.
Okay, I'd like to call the February 22nd, 2019 meeting of the Arizona State Board of Optometry to order. It's a teleconference meeting. Ms. Hollins, could you do the roll call, please?
Okay, Dr. Kasagas?
Here.
Dr. Peller?
Here.
Dr. Moffitt?
Here.
Dr. Lamb?
Here.
Dr. Jones?
I'm here.
Mr. Ivanov?
Here.
Mona Baskin?
Present.
Margaret Whalen?
Present.
Paula Hollins is here.
Great.
Christina Gomez, acting...
She is the assistant.
Assistant director on this end.
On this end, in Phoenix. And thank you for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for taking role. President's report, I have none. So we'll move on to D, review, discussion, and possible action on investigative reviews and complaints. Number one, Terry Gieske, OD, IR number 201904. Would someone like to summarize that, please?
I'll do that. Patient tried to order a year's worth of contact lens with only about a few weeks left until expiration. They had previously ordered a year's supply from Dr. Gieske's office. He approved a one box or 6 month supply in order for the patient to get back to have an updated exam. He tried to order, or the patient tried to order, a year supply from 1-800 and one other online course in excess to the year and a half supply already given. I would move to dismiss this for lack of violation of the Optometry Practice Act.
Dr. Lamb would second that.
We have a motion and a second. Do we have any discussion on this matter? I would ask that you mentioned there was a complainant here. Is it related to this case?
No.
No.
Okay.
Patient SH from this case.
Okay. Hearing no discussion, I will call the question. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Dr. Kasagas, may we?
Aye.
Oh, wait. I have this thing in my head from the last meeting.
Yes.
It has to be a roll call vote.
Right.
It's just coming back in droves. Okay.
Right.
Dr. Peller?
Aye.
Dr. Moffitt?
Aye.
Dr. Lamb?
Aye.
Dr. Jones?
Aye.
Mr. Ivanov?
Aye.
And I also vote aye. So it is a unanimous vote. There is no violation of the Optometry Practice Act.
Thank you.
And we'll move on to number two. Lisa Field Sherlock, OD, IR number 201905. If someone could summarize that one.
I can't talk, or I would. Sorry.
I think you sound pretty good, Froggy.
Yes. Thanks, John. My president. Captain, my captain.
Yeah. Okay,
I can summarize it, I guess.
Go ahead.
This is Dr. Moffitt. So it looks like complainant SH had cataract surgery in both eyes, also had concurrent keratoconus, and when she went back after an appropriate healing period, got glasses, new glasses prescription. When she went to pick them up, they were somewhat unsatisfactory with distortion in the view and was warned they would be different. Gave the glasses, it sounds like a good effort to get used to, presented herself back to her doctor, Dr. Sherlock, I want to say that correctly, had a new glasses prescription issued, had the glasses remade, picked up the glasses, felt there was no improvement, went to see an outside optometrist, and she also talked to an insurance company, went to see an outside optometrist, got the glasses remade again, and was happier with the outside or with the additional new pair, went to get a refund for the first the second or the first remake on the initial pair from Dr. Sherlock's office, and was told they were non-refundable. And that's the basis of the complaint. According to Dr. Sherlock's notes, they needed to get approval for a refund, which they ultimately did approve, but the patient has not returned the glasses to the optical to obtain the refund.
Thank you.
It does say that the refund was authorized, but I don't know if it was ever paid back.
I think it was not. Per Dr. Sherlock's note, the patient never returned the glasses to the optical, so she still could, it looks like. In her note, she says to this date she has not returned them. But the refund was authorized through the optical manager.
Would someone like to make a motion? We can start discussion on this.
Dr. Pastagas, you also maybe could hear from patient SH first if you wanted to.
But wouldn't that be part of the discussion? Or we can hear
whatever you'd want. It's just that it's kind of hard on the phone. So whatever you want to do,
I would say if the patient would like to speak now, we can. That might help us make a motion.
Yes, my name is SH, and I did return the glasses on January 31st. I have my receipt from the individual in the optical department for $705. But they were returned 2 days after I received a call from the person in charge of the optical department. She called me on January 29th stating that a check will be sent to me within 4 to 6 weeks. She would rush it, but I needed to return the glasses. Again, I did return the glasses with a paper receipt signed on January 31st.
And you still haven't gotten the check?
No. I received a call on February the 11th from the office manager at Southwestern asking me for my credit card number. I gave it to her. She said that it would be posted within 48 hours. I have continuously called my credit card company. I have talked to two representatives. I've gone online, and as of today at 8:45, the credit is not there.
I'm sorry, ma'am. What day did they say it would take 48 hours from?
From February the 11th. She said
okay.
It would be posted. Please. It would take 48 hours, and after that, you know, I guess it's up to the credit card company. But today is the 22nd. And there has been nothing.
I don't really think that the credit card company would post that immediately, wouldn't they?
Well, I don't know. I talked to them, and, you know, then the person that I spoke with says, well, it's been 2 weeks. And she said, you can just wait a little longer to see if you do receive your credit.
Yeah, great.
So Mona, how can we do this if indeed they are going to issue a refund, which would basically make this a moot point, because I don't think there was a violation of the Optometry Practice Act, but there was something that needed to be done. How can we do something if they say they're going to do it, but they haven't done it? Do we do something contingent on, how can we do this?
Bottom line is that there's not a violation of the optometry practice.
No. The bottom line is the patient probably needs the $700 and it wasn't refunded to her like it was stated.
Which we can't technically get in the middle of anyway.
Mona?
Correct. Yes, those are correct statements.
Okay.
Well, what does Mona suggest?
I said that I did agree that those are correct statements. You could continue it if you wished, or you could make a decision on the evidence before you as far as, is there a violation of the Optometric Act?
Based on the facts before us, I'd make a motion to dismiss for lack of violation of the Optometry Practice Act.
Second.
Okay, we have a second. Who was the first second? So they got
that was Dr. Jones.
Thank you. The
okay. Is it time for discussion?
I was going to say it's time for discussion.
Okay. I mean, all the years I've been on the board, our job is to protect the public. That's our main purpose. Patient has not received a seven. It's not like he's waiting for a $50 check, $700. I imagine the patient needs that. I don't think we should dismiss this until the patient has been paid. That's my personal opinion. But protecting the public, I agree that there is no violation, but to let this just slide and leave the patient, you know, in the wilderness on this, I don't know, maybe she never gets the check. Who knows? I would say we should at least postpone this decision until the next meeting, because we're here to protect the public. Right, Margaret? And she needs her $700 back.
Mike, I understand that, but the question is there a violation?
I understand what you're all saying, but we're here to protect patients like FH. And let's just go, forget about it. Then what's the patient to do if she never gets the money? Okay? That's how I feel.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Go ahead. No,
go ahead.
Can I ask a question of SH. I thought I understood in your comments that initially, so the date of the letter that we have from Dr. Sherlock is January 30th was when her statement was written and submitted, and it was the 31st that you talked to the office about a refund, and I thought in your initial comment you said that they told you it would be 4 to 6 weeks for the refund. Is that correct?
Yes, on January 20th.
Yeah. Okay, so we have not, it hasn't been 6 weeks yet, and I'm just suggesting this, that this may be nothing more than internal accounting on their part before the refund is actually posted, like, you know, any financial process.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of putting that out there, that it hasn't been 6 weeks yet since that, even though I understand that they said it should post on the credit card.
Right.
Did patient FH state that there was a 48-hour turnaround after that? Did you suggest that, ma'am? I recall you saying that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, the office manager told me that it would post in 40. She was going to. It would be posted in 48 hours. But then she kind of trailed off, stating that, you know, I don't know when it would get to your credit card company.
You know, I don't like this.
Yeah.
But Dr. Sherlock, according to your statement, she sent her note on the 30th, and I returned the glasses the next day.
Correct.
First. That's why she's saying I returned them. Right.
Well, because she wrote this before you had done so.
Right.
So this was dated. Right. So we understand that, but we just didn't know that when we started our conversation.
Yes.
So,
well,
yeah.
I mean, I can wait, you know, a couple more weeks to see that it is posted to my credit card.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
and from my perspective, this is a consumer complaint, which is legitimate, but the complaint is towards the doctor, and I agree that there is no violation on the doctor's part here.
Pardon me, go ahead.
I was just going to say that, you know, when I went back to her, I have never encountered her action towards me in 12 years. It was like I was the person that made the mistake, but no.
Yeah.
I mean, she really disappointed me in her actions.
Right. Hey, I know what the board is going to do on this, and I say it's wrong. This thing should be continued to the next meeting, okay? I don't care what you guys say. We're here to protect the public. What if this woman never receives it? Is she supposed to file another complaint after we dismiss it?
No, Mike.
I mean, the board is ready to dismiss this complaint.
No, but what we could do, based on, you know, because you mentioned history and what we're supposed to do, our history has always been that we are here to protect the public from an optometrist doing something unethical, negligent, et cetera, et cetera. And so wait, no, wait. Let me finish. And so has there been a violation of the Optometry Practice Act? I think we all say no. However, we do feel for the patient in a from a consumer level. So I wouldn't have a problem voting that there is no violation of the Optometry Practice Act, but I would also ask the patient to let us know if she doesn't get that refund, because I don't have a problem issuing a letter of concern later if they don't, if the 6 weeks passes and it doesn't happen. Because ultimately the doctor's responsible, even though you're into Southwestern, AIG, Barnett Delaney,
doesn't matter.
A tunnel of bureaucracy. It's still, but we can't be responsible for getting all the money back to people. I mean, that's not our job. We can't do that.
Mr. President, members of the board, if I may, I think you're on the right track, Dr. Christakis. If you feel like the board wants to vote on the motion that's on the table right now to dismiss, they can do that. And if the patient doesn't receive her refund and wants to file a new complaint for, you know, the doctor not providing what was requested, you know, we always have our own professional conduct law. There's a, you know, conduct that discredits the profession if you feel that the doctor was unethical in some way or, you know, in promising something that she didn't deliver. I think that would be an okay route to go. It would be a new complaint. It wouldn't be the same person's complaint.
Why can't we just continue the complaint and make sure the patient gets paid instead of making the patient refile? I mean,
well, because Dr. Lamb, we don't have the authority to interfere in practice issues when it comes to billing and charges.
We have the authority to continue the complaint till next meeting. The patient reports to us she got her money, and we then dismiss. But you guys do what you want.
Okay. Well, no, that's fine, because we have the discussion, because and we can vote the way we choose. I just wanted to make sure that the patient had a way of letting us know if it didn't happen. So based on that, we've had a lot of discussion. I'm gonna call the question, and so we'll do the roll call vote. And Dr. Peller, okay. To summarize, the motion is to dismiss for lack of violation of the Optometry Practice Act. Dr. Peller,
aye.
Okay. Dr. Moffitt,
aye.
Dr. Lamb,
no.
Dr. Jones,
aye.
Mr. Evanoff,
no.
And I vote yes. Aye. So the motion carries, and hopefully the patient listened to what we said and will let us know if she doesn't receive that credit on her credit card.
I will.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you so much, Ms. SH, for coming. I appreciate it.
All right. So should I hang up now?
Yes.
You can.
That's fine.
Thanks for your help.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye. Bye-bye.
Okay, moving on. E, review, discussion, and possible action on pending regular license application. Number three, Ms. Holland.
Mr. President, all is well. We do have a negative DPS report as well.
Is there a motion?
I make a motion to accept all three applicants.
We're only on E. We're only on number three.
Oh.
Right.
Just Dr. Merrill, Dr. Peller.
Okay. I make the motion to accept Jason Merrill for licensure.
Is there a second?
Second by Dr. Lamb.
Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none, do I have to do a roll call on this too?
Yes, please.
Okay. Dr. Peller?
Aye.
Dr. Moffitt?
Aye.
Dr. Lamb?
Aye.
Dr. Jones?
Aye.
Mr. Evanoff?
Aye.
And I vote aye. It's unanimous. And we'll move on to item F, review, discussion, and possible action on pending endorsement applications.
Mr. President,
Ms. Holland.
Mr. President, these are complete. They also have negative DPS reports.
I do have one question before a motion is brought up. On number five, it says the jurisprudence exam is pending, but there was a grade of 78%.
Oh.
How is it pending?
That was an administrative error. My apologies.
Okay, so he got a 78%. He passed it. He's fine.
Yes.
All right.
I make a motion to accept 4 and 5 for licensure.
Second?
Second, William.
Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none. Dr. Peller.
Yes, aye. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Dr. Moffitt.
Aye.
Dr. Lamb.
Aye.
Dr. Jones.
Aye.
Mr. Evanoff.
Aye.
And I vote aye. Unanimous. We have 3 new licensees. Item G, review, discussion, and possible action on approval of continuing education. There are 3 there. We can do one at a time, or we can do all 3, depending on the motion, I guess.
Mr. President, members of the board, I wanted to make sure that everybody saw there was 2 separate applications for item C, just because there's 2 separate dates for the exact
right.
same course.
And, I mean, 2 locations, too, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I move we accept all 3. Lamb.
We have a motion to accept all 4 continuing education classes. Yeah.
I'll second.
I had it.
Okay, we have a second. Now we have discussion. Go.
Okay. So this is Dr. Moffitt.
Yeah.
The continuing education offered by Associated Retina Consultants. As I looked through that, my impression was that this is kind of a small, retrospective study that they've just done themselves. And to me, that didn't quite seem like continuing education. If it's this small and it's just a study that they've done themselves, it's not necessarily widespread or would in any way influence treatment of diabetic macular edema. So I thought that was just a little questionable. That's my comment.
And it's a good
I don't know if anybody agrees with that or not.
I don't think we can, I can't talk. Never mind, I'm sorry.
I guess I look at this, what I'm getting at, and I don't know these, I don't know these doctors and I don't know this group, and you all may, but I guess I look at this and I think, oh, well, if my group did a small in-house study and then I was presenting it, like a paper or presenting it like a study to a group of people, I'm just not sure, or other optometrists or, ophthalmologists, I'm just not sure it qualifies as continuing education if you're really just presenting a small in-house study. So that's how I looked at it. If I'm the only one who feels that way, that's okay.
I looked at it that way too. But I do know the doctors and I do know what they do. Being up in here, the only reason I liked it was I would approve it was because it was only for an hour. They were going to review principles and pathophysiology of diabetic macular edema. So yeah, they were going to discuss what they've done for treatments, but they were also going to discuss principles of macular edema and their perspectives on steroid treatments. So I just thought it was something that they did, but I also thought it would be a good course as far as diabetic macular edema goes. That's just what I saw.
Yeah. Okay.
I agree with you, John.
You do?
Yeah, wow. That matters. I know it doesn't matter. I agree.
Okay. Any further discussion?
Call 911. I'm dying.
any further discussion on this matter? Hearing none, we will vote. Dr. Peller.
Aye.
Dr. Moffitt.
Aye.
Dr. Lamb.
Aye.
Dr. Jones.
Aye.
Mr. Evanoff.
Aye.
I'll vote aye also, so it's unanimous that all 4 courses would be approved. Item H, no, we don't have any H. We don't have any minutes. Okay. And here it is, the highlight of every meeting, the executive director's report.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. It's very brief today since we are on the phone. Our budget update as of January 31st, 2019, 58.33% of our fiscal year has elapsed, with the board spending at 49.97%. Our beginning cash balance is $326,616, with an ending cash balance of $313,364. So the fund remains healthy and we're in good shape. Rules package update, as you know, we promulgated rules. They were set for the December 4th meeting of GIRC, at which time they were approved. The notice of final rulemaking was submitted to the Secretary of State's office and should be published next week. The rules will be effective within 60 days from the date of publication. So we're just about a month or two away from getting our rules finally completed and in effect. Once that happens, I'll reprint our statutes and rules book with all the updated legislation and rules so that you have an updated copy. Are there any future agenda items that you would like to have on the next board meeting?
Mike, were you going to say something?
Mike, if you could call this talking, I was going to say it. Margaret, could you start following Senate Bill 1475 for us?
Okay.
It's a weird bill that's going to require everybody that's fingerprinted to provide a DNA sample to the state. And it's
okay, Dr. Lamb, this is Mona Baskin. We can't get into it substantively, but we've identified the Senate Bill 1475.
All I wanted to do is have her follow the bill, Mona.
All right, let's do that. And I will too.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Any other future agenda items?
Yeah, I'd like to just get an update at the next meeting on where we're at, finishing up the 1-800 complaints and all that, to get all that behind us.
Okay. Anything else?
Let's have our next meeting at the Marriott in Tucson. That would be cool. Everybody gets a call. Never mind.
You can bring that one up under future board meeting dates.
Yes. Any other future agenda items, board members? Okay. Future board meeting dates, I would like to meet next April 12th because today's meeting kind of clears out our complaints and applications for the moment, so we wouldn't have substantial board business for next month, but we would for April. I know that doesn't interfere with the AZOA Spring Congress.
The week after,
I don't think Vision Expo West or any of those are that weekend. So is anyone off on vacation or anything where they wouldn't be available? Just to check for a quorum.
Chris Agnes, you're always on vacation.
Yeah, right. I'm here.
That's fine with me, Mrs. Kelly.
Okay, I'm fine.
I'm sorry, Dr. Peller, you said yes?
I said I'm good with that.
Okay. Then I will schedule it for the regular scheduled date of Friday, April 12th. And we'll go from there because, you know, the summer gets a little busy. So we'll start getting more applications in probably right around that time.
Okay. And before we leave Executive Director's report, did you, if you haven't done it yet, Dr. Jones, make sure Margaret gets your current email.
We are covered. I greatly apologize again, Dr. Jones.
That's okay.
Okay.
Are you done, Margaret, with executive director's report?
Yes.
So we'll do the call to the public. Who's hanging out on the phone and wants to talk?
There are
hearing none.
There's no public.
I know. So I'll take a motion to adjourn.
I shall move.
I have a motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
All those in favor without a roll call vote, aye.
Aye.
I don't have to roll on that one, do I?
I'll let it slide.
Okay. The meeting's adjourned at 9:30. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
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 See you on the 12th.